Caroline, Willie, D Mace, 1025, 1063, the game and the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Willie Donick will join the show in 1 hour. He's holding down the fort in Detroit. Predators take on the Red Wings tonight in Detroit. Puck drop at 6 o'clock. All of your pregame coverage starting right here on 102.5 The Game at 5 p.m. Chris Mason will also join us in 1 hour as well. Normally on Fridays, he joins us at 11:30. With the travel schedule, he will join us at 1 o'clock. So we'll get a full Predators preview and Predators breakdown with Chris Mason at 1 o'clock. Ask D Mace in 30 minutes. So get those questions in for Derek Mason. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take your call, take your calls and your texts. Anything is on the line for Ask D Mace. We'll get to that in 30 minutes. Titans are out on the practice field now. Last run through before they take on the Houston Texans on Sunday. D Mace, is it fair to assume that Will Levis is going to play on Sunday?
It seems like that's the way it's trending. I
But
saw
it
some
feels like.
clips, of Will getting underneath center. And albeit it was, pre-practice, in the warm-ups, but him seeming like he's moving around, like he doesn't, I didn't see a noticeable limp, or anything. So, if that is indeed the case, then I would assume that he would be the starter, or he will be the starter this Sunday, because frankly, Caroline, you saw it just like I saw it. I mean, in the game, it didn't look good for Tannehill. It just isn't. It just isn't. Didn't, excuse me.
Ooh.
But I think he
He
was,
struggled.
yeah, I think he was, I don't want to say, it seemed like he had happy feet. It seemed like he was never comfortable in the pocket. And I get it. I wouldn't be
I doubt
comfortable.
he
I wouldn't be
was.
comfortable in that pocket either. After y'all five guys just got me hurt 6 weeks ago and cost me my job this season, I wouldn't be comfortable around, in the pocket with them either. But it
No.
seemed like he was a little bit gun shy. It seemed like he had happy feet. He
He
just
held
didn't
on to the
see,
ball far too
he
long.
didn't seem like he trusted, himself out, or he trusted what was out there. Not that he didn't trust the receivers. One, it just seemed like he was rusty. He didn't have that, connection with them as he had before. But then it just seems like he was a little bit off, like he didn't trust things. He didn't trust the offensive line. There were passes, guys wide open, trailing Burks coming across the middle of the field would have been big play. You threw it behind him. He gets knocked down. It's a penalty. You almost get the guy decapitated because of whatever you're thinking or whatever is causing you to either speed up your throws or short arm your throws. It's happening, or it happened last week. And if I'm Mike Vrabel, and if Will Levis is 100% or 95%, I got to put him back in the game because at least he doesn't know what he doesn't know. Ryan Tannehill knows all that stuff. He's been beat up, knocked down for 2 years. He knows. Will Levis don't know that part yet. Will Levis knows, I've been knocked down a few times, but not like on Ryan Tannehill. So, again, he knows what he don't know. He
I
don't
was
know
pretty
what he don't know,
disappointed.
excuse me.
I was pretty disappointed in Tannehill
I was too.
against Seattle on Sunday. It was mistakes that he was making that if Will Levis makes those same mistakes, I'm disappointed, yes, but I'm thinking to myself, all right, rookie, you got to learn from that. You got to learn that you can't do that. You got to learn that the ball has to come out quicker than that. You got to learn that you can't put Chris Moore in the line of fire like that. Ryan Tannehill should know those things.
Yes.
Ryan Tannehill does know those things. Yet Ryan Tannehill was continuing to make mistakes that 10-year NFL veterans don't make. So, yeah, I'm with you wholeheartedly that it was a bad day from Ryan Tannehill. Absolutely. And if Will Levis is in a position that he can protect himself, that he is mobile enough, that he can evade pressure, he needs to play. Because those are invaluable reps for Will Levis. That when Will Levis initially went down, I understand that there was a conversation about just sitting him for the rest of the season. I totally understand that mindset of, look, don't continue to throw the young man out there into the line of fire and risk him getting injured even further. I get it 100%, but you can't learn to play quarterback on the bench. And if you can play, you should play. I'm not saying throw a 60% Will Levis out there and say, Will, you better learn. It's going to be tougher than this in the NFL at some point. I'm not saying that, but if he can go, he should go. But D Mays, if he can go, I am really excited because it looks like CJ Stroud is going to be good to go on Sunday as well, that he finally will have gotten to a point where he can clear concussion protocol. So I might get to see Levis versus Stroud, two quarterbacks that I think are going to be compared a lot throughout the entireties of their career for several reasons. One, in the same draft class, Anthony Richardson is going to be one that's going to be compared as well. They're in the same draft class. They're in the same division. And also, I think that it's fair to compare the two because we know that there was interest from the Titans and CJ Stroud during the draft season. So I'm excited to finally be able to see the two compared against one another. That we're going to see Stroud versus Levis. And I know that the comparison isn't going to be fair because CJ Stroud's working with a much better and much more veteran offensive line. Now, he's not going to have the same pass catching core that he had at the beginning of the season that made him look like Superman, that made him look like a potential league MVP. He doesn't have Tank Dell. But he still is working with more than maybe Will Levis is. So, what kind of peek behind the curtain for the future of the AFC South do you think we're going to be able to see on Sunday?
Wow, this is going to be interesting. Because still you will not be able to see, CJ Stroud in his full, plethora of playmakers. Tank Dell is gone. Nico Collins, he's not playing this game. So you're talking about two guys that were, instrumental in the season that CJ Stroud is having as a rookie. But I still think I think they're going to be able to, do what they did in regards to play calling. Now, if they win or not, I don't know. But they're going to be able to do some of the things they were able to do, 2 weeks ago against the Tennessee Titans. So it really doesn't matter, necessarily who the quarterback is because this is what we want to do. Now, you may be able to do a little bit more because CJ Stroud he affords you that ability to do that as a coordinator. But I think they're going to attack Tennessee the way they attacked them last, the last go around. But now they just have their franchise quarterback underneath center. So I don't want this to be so much about Will Levis and CJ Stroud because these two teams are in totally two different situations. You already said it about CJ Stroud. He has a veteran offensive line. He has some playmakers, even though they're not playing now. This team seems to be, they're the Tennessee Titans of, 3 or 4 years ago when Mike took the job. They may not have as many that veteran leadership that Tennessee has, but they're a team on the come up in a sense. So you have a team that's on the come up, team that has already found their franchise quarterback, going against another team that has problems at every position on the field. So when they play each other, to me, it's not so much about Will Levis and CJ Stroud. It's about the two teams, period, because one is on the decline and one is going up the chart. So you just want to see how close the Tennessee Titans can play the Te Houston Texans, knowing that Houston has the best personnel.
What do you want to see from Will Levis?
I just want to see him continue to progress as a quarterback. I want to see him be definitive in what he does. I don't want to see, some of these him playing sort of hero ball. Because I think because of what's going on around him, meaning, more importantly, the offensive line, I think sometimes he feels he has to do that and even more because of what's going on with the offensive line. I just want to see him orchestrate the offense the way it's supposed to be orchestrated. I want him to be able to see the field other than D-Hop. I want him to get used to throwing to other guys. D-Hop is going to be there. He's going to be there next year. He's going to be that dude. But in order to expand yourself, you got to start finding other weapons. You got to start finding other guys you can rely on. So don't just be locked in on one guy. Share the wealth with everyone else. Allow those guys to show you that they can be, you know, a reliable asset to you. That's what I want to see for him. He's shown the leadership, and I think he needs to continue to show it. But these are the things in regards to Will Levis that I want to see. Just him just continuing to get better, you know, no matter what's going on around him. Yes, he's going to get knocked down probably 8 or 9 times, but get back up, get back underneath center, and go. That's all I want to see from him.
The hero ball, I think you hit the nail on the head. That's what I want to start to see dissipate. Early in your career, I get it. I understand. You're called upon to now be the guy, and you want to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But you, one, can't put yourself in harm's way in order to do that. Like, I think the Dolphins game is the perfect example when Will Levis is doing his best Bull in China Shop impression. And it's like, look, dude, sometimes you got to slide.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this team needs you to be healthy. Sometimes you just got to slide. Whether it's that or whether it's electing for the long ball instead of not quite the home run ball, but you got an open receiver right there. Take the easy yards. You don't always have to go for the home run. Whatever it might be, I want Will Levis to take a deep breath. And when it comes down to when it gets into crunch time, because that just looks like how the Titans are going to play games now. Mm-hmm. It's going to be close, and they're probably going to lose a close game. But if it gets to a point where it is close, or you get into a gotta-have-it moment, I don't want to see Will Levis tense up, get nervous, make a bad decision, throw the ball downfield, then it gets intercepted. Just go through your progressions. You don't always have to be the guy. You don't always have to be the hero. And that's not exclusive to just this game on Sunday against the Texans. That's just what I want to see throughout Will Levis in the last couple of games of the season, because that's going to be the cap on your rookie season. And next year, you no longer get that excuse of, oh, well, he's a rookie. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, he's still learning. Oh, well, that's just a rookie mistake. You don't get that anymore. Make your rookie mistakes, but learn from your rookie mistakes. And don't make the same mistakes twice. Because I think the bad habits that we've talked about, D-Maze, the bad mm-hmm. habits that we've seen Will Levis get into, that's making the same mistakes twice. Sometimes it's Will Levis' fault, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes, frankly, it's just because of the offensive line. Sometimes it's because receivers aren't open or receivers are dropping balls, whatever it might be. It still falls on the quarterback's shoulders.
Yeah, it does. And you don't want to see him and we discussed this, you know, weeks ago. Don't get into bad habits. Don't, because yeah. It is not like you're getting into bad habits because you're just not, you know, that's what you're doing. That's what you do. Or you're aware of it and you just don't care. No, you're getting into bad habits because of what's in front of you. You know, so you're not throwing, you know, so you're throwing off your back foot when you don't have to, but you are because of the offensive line. You're doing things within the pocket because of the offensive line. You're staring down receivers because of your offensive line, because you want to get the ball away very quickly. Or you're not reading the field the way you need to read it because you're worried about, well, do I have enough time to read the whole field considering how this offensive line has blocked for me since I've become the starter? So when you have a bad offensive line, it causes you to sort of develop, or it can cause you to develop some bad habits that under any other circumstance you wouldn't. That's just like anything, you know, that's just like if you get an injury, say a hamstring injury, and, you know, you start to do some things a little bit different. Well, you start to do some things a little bit different because your hamstring hurts. And then when that happens, it may cause your hip to start hurting. Why? Because you're walking a certain way because of the hamstring. So you're developing habits that now are affecting other parts of your body. Well, that is Will Levis to me. He's being affected. He's developing bad habits, or potentially can develop bad habits, because of the offensive line. And I don't want to see that happen with him.
Everything about this offensive line makes me lose sleep. What it's doing to Will Levis, what it's doing to the run game. And that's the other thing, is the last time the Texans and the Titans played, Derrick Henry was essentially, rendered useless. Could get nothing going in the run game. And that looks like that's going to be the game plan of any opposing defense that the Titans play is, hey, just take 22 out of the game. Now, we've seen that the Titans can still win games, even if Derrick Henry isn't Superman. We saw it in Miami. And we even heard it on Hard Knocks the week leading up to that game, where Mike McDaniel's talking about Derrick Henry, how they're going to attack Derrick Henry, how they're going to stack the box and make sure that number 22 doesn't run all over us. That looked like that was the game plan for the Houston Texans last time these two teams met. He had less than 10 yards rushing in an entire game. 20 touches, 9 yards. It doesn't happen very often. That's never happened for Derrick Henry. Yes, they were able to win the game in Miami. I don't know. And we can talk about wins and losses really at this season, at this point in the season. Wins and losses, it's, unfortunately, feels like a much less impactful conversation now than maybe it did a few years ago, or a few weeks ago, rather. But just the idea of getting Derrick Henry moving, even when the defense's game plan is take 22 away from them, that's what I'm interested to see. The different approach, perhaps. Not just with Derrick Henry, but just in the run game in general.
Yeah, I mean, this team. Obviously, Houston is going to try to take away Derrick Henry. They took him away.
Everyone will.
Yeah, they took him away the first game. They made it very difficult for him to run. So, to me, I'm happy that Will Levis is back, because if you want to stack the box and try to take away Derrick Henry or the Titans' ability to run the football, then I trust that Will has a strong enough arm to get the ball down the field when he need to. Ryan, it just didn't seem like Ryan had that arm to get the ball or push the ball down the field, and he didn't. Everything was pretty much underneath. They're going to force the Titans, because they're going to try to take away Derrick Henry. They're going to force the Titans to throw the football. And this is where they got to capitalize. And in doing that, then maybe it opens up some things for Derrick Henry as well as Tajae Spears.
Yeah, I mean that at least is what you hope, because
Yes.
9 rushing yards from Derrick Henry on 20 touches, it's just not good enough. It's not gonna cut it. I think the other aspect that I think is intriguing for this game, you could tell the last time that these two teams played, it was personal. Houston took that personal.
Of
The fact that
course.
they were wearing the Oilers uniforms with the oiled Derrick on the field, that hit them in a sensitive spot, and they played like it. I do wonder now with the Titans, after what went down in the last meeting, after how they just got embarrassed on their home field with Billy White Shoes Johnson and Earl Campbell in attendance. How much more personal is it for the Titans now after that first meeting with the Texans?
It should be personal. They got
They
embarrassed.
should be pissed
Yeah,
off.
they got embarrassed. And it's not even about them wearing the uniforms. This team is disliked by the Tennessee Titans. They are disliked by the Tennessee Titans. They don't like them. No owner doesn't like them. And you allowed them to come into your building, and they took the game away from you. They seem to be the more physical team the last time y'all played. That typically doesn't happen with a Titans and a Texans meeting. It doesn't happen that way. Usually the Titans are imposing their will on the Houston Texans. Well, this time the Houston Texans imposed their will on the Tennessee Titans. And I'm not saying that the Titans didn't show up and didn't, try to play that type of game. But I think
They
because
very
of,
much so did show up.
yeah, I guess it did. Yeah, you're right. But because of their head
That might be
coach
even worse.
and DeNico Ryans, he establishes, just like Vrabel established when he came in, that sort of mentality, even though I believe it was still there, but he sort of reignited it again. That's what the Houston Texans coach is doing for them. He's implementing that physical nature, that we're going out and we're coming at you and we're hitting you hard. It seemed like they were hitting Derrick Henry with sledgehammers every time he touched the ball.
Have to watch.
And that's what they want to be able to do. They want to outbully the bully. Well, the Titans got to take that mantle back this game. They have to. Now, are they going to be able to? I don't know. But you got embarrassed at home against your rival, like your hated rival.
Yeah.
You can't go to their place and the same thing happen. You can't let that happen.
We'll get into Ask D. Mace coming up next. Get those questions in for Derek Mason. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, and D. Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee to bet. Also, you can tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tomorrow for MTSU men's basketball. The Blue Raiders are on the road facing Murray State with pregame beginning at 2:30 p.m. and tip-off at 3 p.m. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3classichits.com.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D. Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D. Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D. Mace. Get those questions in for D. Mace. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Ask D. Mace. It's presented by Calabria Pizza. Come try their pizza in Goodlettsville and Mount Juliet because life is just too short to eat bad pizza. Let's get into some of those questions for D. Mace. First, Skylar texts in. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Skylar says, did Tannehill hurt his chances on another team next year after blowing the two-minute drill on Sunday? Nobody was expecting him to win the game, but he took a few sacks that a veteran should know better to do, and the way they messed that last play up, letting the clock hit zero, was just gut-wrenching. It was.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it wasn't Ryan Tannehill's best showing as a quarterback, and I'm sure he would love to, you know, redeem himself, but unfortunately he may not be able to because it seems like, you know, Will has been practicing. I don't think there's any limitations. So it seems like Will Levis will be the starter. Things can change, and obviously they can go to Ryan Tannehill once again. But I think if Will can play, they're going to allow him to play. And it's unfortunate for Ryan because that I don't think that's who he is. What we saw last Sunday, I don't think that's who he is as a quarterback. I think he's a little bit better than that. But unfortunately, he may not get an opportunity to show that.
Chip and Mount Juliet text in kind of along the same lines of why don't the Titans use a quicker passing game?
I think they, you know, it's hard because I'm sure they have a lot of quick plays called, or quick passes called. But even with their quick passes, it's hard. You know, what if the defense takes it away, then you got to go to your second option. Well, your second option may not be a slant or hitch. It may be a, you know, 15-yard dig or something like that. So I think a lot of it isn't because Tim Kelly doesn't want to call those plays. I'm sure he does, and they do call them. But it's we got to be able to push the ball down the field. We can't, you know, stand up and throw 5-yard hitches all day. It's going to get old, and the defense is going to figure it out. You know, to the Texas question, I do think they have, you know, a quick game portion to them. But it's hard to use because of the offensive line.
Everything is hard to do with this offensive line. It cripples this entire offense. And I guess you could call the short passing game more of a quicker passing game because you're not dropping back. You're not, you know, going through reads. You're not setting up a 40-yard pass. But that is something that Tim Kelly addressed a couple of weeks ago was the short passing game, how that seems to struggle, how, you know, from 20 plus, it seems like Will Levis really for the most part can be pretty money, but it's that 4-yard, 5-yard, 7-8-yard kind of shorter passing game that might seem to struggle a little bit, which is why it's tough. You know, let's say it's second and eight. You might want to throw a short 4 or 5 yard slant. Well, if that's an incompletion, now you're set up with third and eight, and then you have to throw it deep.
Yeah, you do. So, I mean, I'm sure there are a bunch of things or some packages that Tim Kelly wants to use or plays he wants to call, but he can't because of the offensive line and its inability to block for the quarterback. So, and it's not going to change because this offensive line is not going to change this season. Next season is where the change will come. And speaking of that, we have a question from Mark in Murfreesboro. He says, D-Mace, you're the GM for the Titans. What is your first move this offseason? I think it's a no-brainer for everybody. It's the offensive line. My first move is to, one, get me a bona fide center. And if I can get a right guard or right tackle, I'm getting that too. But then in the draft, my first course of business is to get a left tackle. I am getting the best left tackle in this year's draft because I think that will help solidify Peter Skoronski and then help solidify the center who you need to go out and get. Aaron Brewer shouldn't be the center next year for this team. Should he be on the team? I believe, yeah, he should be on the team, but he shouldn't be the starting center for this team next year. It should be another guy at his position. So I would address if we're just talking about the offseason free agency, I would first address the center and the right tackle. And then via the draft, I would address the left tackle position.
Here is a hypothetical scenario that I know we're going to go over a million times from now until April draft time. But this is something that has been talked about a lot, and I think it's fitting given the conversation. Let's say the Titans have the 5th overall pick, just to make it easy. 5th overall pick. Marvin Harrison Jr., let's say hypothetically, is still on the board at number 5. Let's say 2 quarterbacks go, let's say even 3 quarterbacks go in the top 4. Maybe Brock Bowers goes in the top 4. Maybe Joe Alt, the left tackle from Notre Dame, goes in the top 4, whatever it is. Marvin Harrison Jr. is sitting at 5. Do you forego Marvin Harrison Jr. for a left tackle?
Ooh. Man, oh man, oh man. You know what? I would for this reason. Would Marvin Harrison come in and, you know, upgrade your receiving core tremendously? Absolutely he would. Could he be a future Hall of Famer? There's a potential that he can. This is how high they have him rated. Some people have him rated the best player in the draft, period. Regardless of position, he's the best player. Some people do have him ranked number one. But because it's like a team having a franchise quarterback, but then in the next year's draft, there's another franchise quarterback there. And, yeah, you can take him because everybody's saying he's that guy, but you choose not to because you have other areas that you need to plug. Well, the Tennessee Titans fit in that category. You know, do they have their franchise wide receiver? I don't know because Treylon Burks has been in and out. But what I do know is they don't have an offensive line. So if I'm picking – top 3, and a team wants to come up and get Marvin Harrison at 3, well, I'm going, that team has to either be picked 4, be picking 4th or 5th, because I'm not moving down past 5th, because I still need to get my left tackle. So if I'm at that spot, say if they make 3 or even 4, and Harrison is still there, I'm on the phone. I'm on the phone with everybody that wants to draft a receiver in the first round. And I'm saying, you know what? You give me some draft picks. You give me some first-round draft picks or some second-round draft picks, and then we can talk. Because if not, then, we may not pick them, but the team right behind us may pick them, and you may lose out. So what do you want to do? I will leverage that to get more picks and still be in a position to get my left tackle.
Oh my goodness, I could it's never a pass up it's on Marvin Harrison.
I know, Caroline. It is a tough situation to be in, but in a league that is a passing league, you gotta have an offensive line that protects. We've seen what happened to the Tennessee Titans this past two seasons. We saw what happened to Joe Burrow when he got hit a million times. You can't allow your quarterback to continue to take these hits. You know? He's going to end up being hurt.
What was the Bengals' first round pick the season after Joe Burrow got hurt?
They won it because they needed another wide receiver. They truly
did. So did the Titans.
But then they went out in free agency and they paid in free agency to get offensive linemen. I don't know if that's the direction the Titans want to go because they want an offensive lineman for the next 10, 12, 13 years. They've been good at getting left tackles up until the last couple of years. But if you go all the way back to B-Hop, to Roos, to Lawan, and the guys, some of the guys in between, you're talking about guys that held that position for more than 8 years. That's what the Titans need. Marvin will be great. No doubt he would be great here. But you can't be great if you ain't getting no blocking.
Yeah, Bengals weren't getting any blocking either.
And
Ja'Marr Chase was the offensive rookie of the year.
Yeah, I get it. I understand it. But I just...
Marvin Harrison.
It would be hard to pass. Again, it would be hard to pass him up. But you got to think about it big picture. You got to think about
it.
I am thinking about it big picture. I got to get my
offensive line. And Marvin Harrison is part of my big picture.
I get it. And listen, and if they were to pick him, I wouldn't be complaining, not one bit, if they picked Marvin Harrison Jr. I wouldn't complain, not one bit. But then I would say, well, you better make sure you get you some offensive linemen. You better pay the money that need to pay to get you a left tackle. Because if you don't, you're going to be on this carousel again, hoping and praying that your quarterback don't get hurt.
And look, if Treylon Burks turns into that franchise wide receiver, then great. Great. Then you could potentially have two franchise receivers if you decide to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. That's, of course, in the context of, you know, the Marvin Harrison being available where the Titans draft. I don't necessarily see that being the case, but who knows? If he does, then great. Then you have two. I can't count on Treylon Burks doing that. Right now, I don't even know if I can count on Treylon Burks being your wide receiver too. I think you move forward thinking of Treylon Burks as more of a piece and not a, you know, a supplementary piece and not a foundational piece. I would have a really, really, really tough time passing up on Marvin Harrison Jr.
Okay.
I don't think I'd be able to sleep at night if I passed up on Marvin Harrison Jr.
This is why I say as hard and difficult a decision that is, you have to make it. If you're in that position to draft him, you look for a trade partner to move down a little, you know, down a slot or two and still be able to get, you know, your left tackle, whether it's, you know, the kid out of Alabama or the kid out of Penn State, one of those guys that you still are in a position to get. But you may pick up another first-round pick and, hey, and there are no slouches in this year's draft now. Come on.
No.
You hadn't even brought up your boy, Malik Neighbors. Come on now. Come on.
I would love
Come on,
Malik
Caroline.
Neighbors. I would love
That's your
Malik
boy.
Neighbors.
So if we can
pass. He is my boy.
If we could pass up on Marvin Harrison, as hard as that may be, you still are in a position to draft your tackle and potentially, if you could get a first round, finesse a first round out of that along with yours, you can get Malik Neighbors. Or you can get one of these other Keon Coleman out of Florida State, one of these other receivers.
I love Keon Coleman.
So you may not get that guy in Marvin Harrison, but just below him, Malik Neighbors is no slouch. It's not like Marvin Harrison is at 99 and the next guy is at 78 or 80. No, if Marvin's at 99, Malik Neighbors is probably around 95, 96.
Hey, he's a 98.
98, there we go, 98. And then Keon Coleman is right below him, as well as the kid out of Washington. So you still have potential playmakers.
You've got good options
in the draft. Exactly, you still got good options in the draft that you can go. But I know it's hard to pass up on a guy that just seems like a surefire can't miss. I get it.
More of your questions for D-Mace coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to participate in Ask D-Mace, Caroline Willie D-Mace, make your silly underdog picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace. Fire.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
This Monday, the only place to catch the college football playoff is on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. Tune in at 4 p.m. as Alabama takes on Michigan, followed by Texas versus Washington in the college football playoff semifinals. Your home for the college football playoffs is 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. Let's get back into your questions for D-May. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Get into your calls and your texts. Wes and Hermitage is on the line with a question for D-May. What's up, Wes?
Good morning, afternoon. How are y'all?
Good.
You're doing good, Wes.
I'm going to start off with another dad joke, just like always.
Let's go.
What did, and I have to dim this down because we're on the radio, but you'll understand. Uh-huh. What did Newton say when? What did Newton say when he discovered gravity?
What?
It's about to go down.
I like that one. I like it.
Yeah, man. That's one of my favorites. But yeah, D-Mace, I cannot agree with you. I cannot agree with you on the offensive line pick. Uh-huh. And so my question for you is, I always hear if you draft for position, for your need of position, that you end up hurting yourself in the long run, that you are supposed to get the best player available. So as much as we need to rebuild the offensive line, why would we not go for a wide receiver, especially one that we know is like, there's no way around it. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be, I mean, it's hard to say, but he's going to be a clutch guy. So I just can't see passing on him if we have the opportunity to get him.
No, I get it. And it would be a hard choice. Thank you for your call, Wes. It would be a hard choice. And listen, this is not about me being right or wrong. I'm just looking at this team as a whole and what they need and what they would like is two different things. What they would like, yeah, is a Marvin Harrison Jr. Okay.
What they need
is an offensive line that can block for that quarterback who is their franchise quarterback that can get it to a franchise receiver, whoever that franchise receiver ends up being. You can't maximize your potential as an offense if you can't pass the football. And passing the football isn't all about having receivers on the outside. It's about having those five guys up front that need to block for you. I'm only telling y'all because these are things that I've experienced. You know, when there's a bad offensive line, I don't care who you have on the outside. You can have Jerry Rice, Marvin Harrison, his daddy, and you know, Torrey Holt or Jimmy Smith. Let's just say you had those three guys. If I only got 1 second to throw the football, who am I getting it to? I don't even answer that.
I get it.
Nobody. You ain't getting it to
I get it.
Nobody. So, y'all are not wrong. I'm not saying y'all are wrong on this. This is not about being right or wrong. Because having Marvin Harrison Jr. would be a benefit to the Tennessee Titans. But also having the left tackle from Penn State, also having the left tackle from Notre Dame, also having the left tackle from Alabama. Those guys, too, would be beneficial to what you want to do as an offense for the Tennessee Titans. Again, I'm not saying that you're wrong. It's a tough decision. But it's a decision that you make that will have implications on everybody if you don't make the right one. You go out there and get a receiver and don't beef up this offensive line, you're going to get your quarterback hurt again. And that is the most important person on your team is your franchise quarterback, Will Levis, who we hope becomes the franchise quarterback. But we won't be able to see that consistently if he doesn't have guys in front of him to block. That's where I'm coming from. I'm just looking at it from a, yeah, sometimes you just don't, sometimes if a guy's there, like a Marvin Harrison Jr., and you say, man, whew, I mean, we need a tackle. We need to beef up this offensive line, but Marvin's there. I understand that. I truly do. But what if Caleb Williams is there? What if Drake May is there? See, when you say that, and then those other things come up too, would you take Drake May? Would you take Caleb Williams? If Drake May and Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison were all there at your pick, three, whatever, would you take any one of those guys? Or would you take the two quarterbacks knowing you already got a quarterback?
If it would depend on how you viewed Drake May or Caleb Williams.
Uh-huh.
I personally, I'm out on Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many red flags for him for me. But if the Titans view it like, man, Drake May, Caleb Williams, those are franchise changers. Those are going to be the Mannings and the Bradys of the future. If they believe that and there's one in their lap, you got to take him, right?
Yeah, you got to take him. But again,
it's the same thing, I think, with Marvin Harrison. And it all comes down to the board.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't think that you can only draft for need. I think that sets your franchise up in a really tough spot. If the Titans grade it, like we got a tier of elite players, and it's four players. It's Caleb Williams, it's Drake May, it's Brock Bowers, and it's Marvin Harrison. Just let me throw out four. Those are the elite of the elite. Those are franchise-changing players.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Joel, the left tackle from Notre Dame, and maybe that ranking below elite. Like, great. Going to be a starter, a really good starter for your franchise for a long time moving forward. If one of those elite players falls in your lap, you got to take that elite player.
But
whether it's a quarterback, a tight end, or a wide receiver.
But elite players aren't just skilled guys. How about the kid from Penn State? I can't even pronounce his name. I'm just going to call him OF. You know.
It's a toughie.
Yeah, it's a tough one, so I'm not going to even put Olua, I'm just going to say that. They are comparing him to Tyron Smith and Joe Thomas. Joe Thomas is a Hall of Famer. So if I can get Joe Thomas type of play, wouldn't that be a playmaker for you?
Yes.
It would be
I'm
a playmaker for you.
Hypothetically.
Or Joe Alt out of Notre Dame.
If you don't have a tackle ranked in that elite tier that maybe, you know, a Marvin Harrison might be in it. And I'm just speaking hypothetically.
Uh-huh.
You have to go with the higher rated player.
I get going with the high. But, okay, if Marvin Harrison is, say, let's Marvin Harrison on somebody's big board, on a Titans big board. Uh-huh. Marvin Harrison is the third pick, you know, the third on their board behind the two quarterbacks. And then right below him is Joe Alt or the kid out of Penn State or the kid out of Alabama. You are not moving too far from the best next available player. You still got to go in and get you who you perceive to be a 10-time, 8-time all-pro guy. Again, it's not just about the receivers and the running backs that can be playmakers. No. Big boy down in San Francisco, when they don't have him at left tackle, they look like a much different team. Big Trent Williams, they look like a different team without Big Trent Williams at left tackle. Trent Williams is a playmaker. He may not he's not the playmaker in a true definition of playmaker, but he's a playmaker because he protects that blind side and he gives Purdy enough time to throw to those other playmakers. Without that offense is different when Trent Williams isn't in game. It's totally different. So to me, if Marvin is at four, Alt is at five. We need a tackle. I'm going with Alt. Not to say because I don't like Marvin Harrison, but because I am still getting a playmaker, but at the tackle position for the next 10 to 12 years.
Hopefully. And that's hopefully for any position.
Yeah, that's for any position.
This is a draft the Titans can't afford to screw up.
You're right.
You screw this one up and you are digging yourself an even deeper hole that you have already dug yourself in over the last few drafts. All right, appreciate everyone for their questions for D-Mace. Now we'll switch to C-Mace. Chris Mason will join us coming up next. Billy Donick will also join the party. Caroline Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.